Father, we pray you would take these minutes and visit us in our message. We have come in your name. We ask to be fed, feed us, and instruct us, and correct us, help us, heal us, save us, anoint us in Christ's name. Bless us in Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Before we start the message, I'll tell you a little bit about the last couple of days. In the ministry, I flew to Albany here. I met David Moore. I don't have a marker, do I, Pastor? Or is it up here? That one. Okay. Here in Albany. David Moore, Patrick, and Dennis Hewlett Jr. Where we drove up here to Montreal, Canada, where we preached and shared and fellowshipped on Thursday night. Friday morning, we had a breakfast together and a rap session. And then a couple carloads of Canadians went with us back down, stopping in Plattsburgh, then down to Malta, where we had a service on Friday night. Then Saturday morning, we went out here to Broad Auburn, and we had a fellowship in a pizza shop, which is the church of the pizza shop, the church that smells like garlic. Pastor Lance Borofsky and the new believers in that small town upstate New York where there's a great need and a hunger, too, for the gospel. So we finished there, and then we did a quick run. Pastor David and I went out here to Rome, New York, to see my mom, plant some flowers, talk with her. For an hour and a half, ate together, said goodbye, kissed her goodbye, hugged her just like I did as a little boy, and then headed back out and just made it in time to catch my plane to come back to Baltimore last night. I say this because I see the Spirit of God moving. I see the young people. I see people all kinds of positions in life. I see moms, I see single people, I see married people, I see teenagers, I see young people. I see that our secular world has deprived our people of a spiritual life, that they actually have no message on a spiritual level. Therefore, actually, we see all kinds of ideas and philosophies and all kinds of ways of life that are, in the word of our culture, pluralistic, but then lacking in content. And what I hope has happened in your life is that you have found Christ, that Christ has satisfied you. This is what he promised, that he would give us water so we would never thirst again, that we would say, the search is over. I have found the living God. And if that has not happened to you yet, then it is our prayer. It will happen, and it will. If you seek him, you will find him. He will answer you. I very much care about that. That even somebody may come to church for many weeks and months and even years and still not see or understand or get a hold of what it is that God has for you. So the question is, how can I get it? Well, in the Bible we read in Romans chapter 10, first of all, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart God raised him from the dead, and I shall be saved. God saves you by his grace, takes your sin away, and gives you a new identity. Turn now to Song of Solomon, chapter 7, please, and verse 1. How beautiful, you could read it with me out loud. How beautiful are your feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. That's all we want to read out of that portion this morning. Let's read it again. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. Well, we're not loud enough yet. Let's read it again. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. Ha ha. Ah. You know, feet, sometimes just feet by themselves are not such a, you know, they're not that attractive. But when they have shoes on, ask the ladies. You're sitting next to a woman right now, turn to her and ask her, are your feet more beautiful with shoes? All right, cancel that. Cancel that. What does it mean? Well, this is Mother's Day. And a woman in and of herself, what a blessing, what a gift that we are alive. But in ourselves, there is not that beauty that is given to you when you are given by God's grace, when Christ is given to you. In other words, by nature, I am one thing, but when you put shoes on me, and the shoes being outside of me, I was entertaining the idea of putting snowshoes up on the screen, and fishing boots, and lumberjack boots, and sandals, and high heels, and very high heels, whatever they are called. And how many shoes there are, and different kinds of shoes, functional shoes, and beautiful shoes, and cute shoes, and so on. When Christ came into the world, he knew we didn't have the beauty that we are meant to have. We didn't have the equipment that we need in order to be beautiful. We needed shoes, or in other words, we needed God to provide to us the beauty. That my feet in themselves is not enough. I need God himself to give me the beauty, the new life, the Spirit of God that makes us beautiful and different. The new birth. I must be born again. My first birth, I only have feet. But when I'm born again, I have feet with beautiful. I have something beautiful. I have the shoes. The shoes of the gospel. We could say the reality of Christ in our life. I was reading about this evangelist's son, Louis Palu. His son, Andrew, was a wayward prodigal son. Louis Palu is world-famous evangelist, like the Latin equivalent to Billy Graham, and has preached all over the world. One of his sons was not following Christ or believing in Christ. Even though he had heard it in his family grandma's mother, his father. He'd been to meetings. He grew up in a Christian home. But none of it meant anything to him. It meant nothing. He didn't care. He didn't care about God or the Bible. He didn't care about the faith. He just didn't care. He was civil, polite, and he said in his own words, deceitful. I could lie and get away with it. I was very good with the women. I could chase after women, no problem. I drank and took drugs, and I just lived that kind of life. And I did not care about my father's message from the Bible. We could just say feet. Just feet. As we know what that means, just life. Is it beautiful? No, it isn't. In the wake of our fallen nature, we have broken hearts. Maybe some of you, maybe some of the ladies here have had relationships with guys that you actually believe maybe there was integrity there, but in a short time or a longer time, you found out that actually it wasn't there. Maybe we have found it with each other. Maybe we have really loved each other and trusted each other, and maybe someone in the church has disappointed me. Or maybe in a marriage, a broken heart. And then mothers. How many mothers have woken up to the fact that my son is a disappointment of some kind? I wouldn't dare say it. But I carry the heaviness and the weight of my son's foolishness. If we go through the book of Proverbs and we study the life of a fool, this is what Andrew Palu said, that I was the fool in the book of Proverbs. That I was lying and lying to myself and living a life as a foolish man, heeding no warnings, doing dangerous things, living the life of a foolish man. Turn now with me, please, to Proverbs 31. And I have two things to say about mothers today with this in mind. In this chapter, the mother is giving counsel to the king. He has a strange name. I don't really know if anybody really knows who he really was, King Lemuel. Verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. A mother's advice, a mother's wisdom, a mother's counsel. This has such great value when your mother has wisdom and she's able to give you some advice. Usually it is not in a message form. Usually it's a word at the door or when you come home late at night. Yeah, and she has something to say to her son who is a king. Now kings are privileged people. Kings have power, kings have money, kings have women. And she sets her son down to give him some advice. And basically, in these words, we'll read them in a minute, she's saying, you have a lot of privilege and use it the right way. You could destroy a lot of people. You could destroy yourself. You could destroy a lot of people by how you live. And she says to him in verse 2, what my son, what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Where in the Bible do we read that a mother made a vow regarding her son? Yeah, Hannah, 1 Samuel. She said to the Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. He became the son of her vows. And this is how this man's mother looked at him when he was in that privileged place as a king and wanted to protect him from the danger of that kind of power that he had. Verse 3. Give not your strength unto women. Nor your ways to that which destroys kings. What destroys kings? Well, women. In Solomon's life, women. I don't know if we should laugh about that or cry about it. They both. Yeah. What do you mean? It's something the mother wants to see in the man. It's for this man to have some discipline. But how can a mother give this kind of advice and really have it in her heart and also have the authority to say it to her son, who is a king? Imagine you're a king and your mother comes in the room and says, hey, Eddie, come on over here, sit down, I'm going to talk to you. Mother, I am the king. Yeah, not with me. Sit down. I got to talk to you. I have something to say to you because I want to save your life. And I want to save you from some trouble. And that I am the one that really cares for you. And I have something that's been given to me from God. This is really the essence of what we're talking about. Because we cannot preach this message without Christ being in our heart. It's Christ in your heart where you actually can sense the wisdom of it. And this young man, Andrew Palu, he couldn't get it. It was all empty to him. He didn't get the words. It didn't mean anything to him. He had no interest in God, Jesus Christ, being born again, the Bible message. He didn't have an interest in it. And it says in the proverb that the foolishness of the son is the heaviness of the mother, because she cares about him being effective, successful, blessed, being a blessing, living a valuable life, being effective, and because of Christ in our hearts, being godly, having authority over my emotions and my decision making. So she's warning him. Verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine and for princes strong drink. Why not? It will affect your judgment. We all know that if alcohol affects our judgment in driving a car, in things we say, conversations we have, thoughts we think. We all know how that can affect our life and then affect our relationships. And as a king who is drinking and has this authority, can make a judgment and affect the life of a person, a family, no, even the whole country. So, mother is there. Well, there's a story about a young mother in Wales carrying her tiny baby in her arms when she was overtaken by a blinding blizzard, a snowstorm. She never reached her destination. When the blizzard subsided, her body was found. They found that she had taken her outer garments off, wrapped the child in her clothing. When they unwrapped the child, to their great surprise and joy, they found he was alive and well. She had mounted her body over his and given her life for her child, proving the depths of mother's love. Years later, that child, David Lloyd George, grown to manhood, became Prime Minister of Great Britain, and with a doubt, one of England's greatest statesmen. When we think about a mother having the heart, the desire to save the life, to be there for her children, it's on many levels. Physically, she would give her life for her children or child. And then in this thought here, she's saying to him, try, if you find a virtuous woman, it's verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? So she's saying, yeah, stay away from chasing women, stay away from the alcohol, and find a virtuous woman. And it says here, they are rare. Who can find them? The price is above rubies. In verse 10, we could go further and say, where is a virtuous man? Where is a virtuous person? Where can you find them? And we are saying, by ourselves, our feet are just feet. But by our new birth, we have shoes. And how beautiful are our feet with shoes? It's the shoes that make our feet beautiful. It's our new life that has changed our heart and our mind and given us understanding that we would love our children and care about them, even to warning them and educating them regarding the pitfalls and the dangers that we face in life. And then she goes on and explains the kind of woman a virtuous woman is in that chapter. There are great words there. There is the heart of her husband safely trusting, her industry, her humility, her hard work, she's not afraid, verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, but she'll solve problems. She'll be their strength and honor are for her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. I think some mothers could be sitting here saying, boy, that's not me. I don't know, I can't make that grade. And I would like to say, I agree that this is not about my natural ability. This is about my availability to God, who gives us shoes, gives us a new birth, gives us godliness. Here's a good word on the word godliness from the Greek. It means in the ancient world, a mystery was not something which was mysterious in the sense of being hard to understand. A mystery was something which was unintelligible to the uninitiated, but crystal clear to those who had been initiated and who had learned to understand. That's like us. Like when we say we live in the mystery of Christ, it isn't as if it's magical, some abstract, weird. It is a growing understanding of the fact that we have shoes on, our feet are beautiful, and we have a new identity. It is the realization that my life, it is not simply us, but it is God's hand with us, the Spirit of God with us. We have a brother in our church here. He was in our early service today. He was stabbed with a knife 7 times, twice in the heart, and he survived. Many of you know him. Gary. And earlier as a child, he was in a burning house. He has got a skin graft on his hand. And he said, my life has been saved twice. Once from a fire and once from being stabbed to death. And this we would say with him, where he looks at you with this shining, this spirit of God saying that God is in my life. That's the kind of meaning of the word godliness. A mystery was a divine secret, unintelligible to the outsider, but open and precious to the true worshiper. So Jesus brought men to the secret of true godliness. In him, men both see God and learn how to worship God. One great preacher, G. Campbell Morgan, had four sons. All of them were preachers. The youngest son, maybe the best, his name Howard, was considered a fine preacher. He took his place preaching in the U.S. His dad was preaching in London. Someone came and talked to him and said, out of your family, who is the greatest preacher in your family? He said, without a hesitation, he said, my mother. Sometimes men and women who never stand at a pulpit preach the greatest sermons through living out the word in their daily lives. And I would add, maybe also by a word in season, a word of warning, a word of godliness, the mystery of Christ being revealed to a young person. Andrew Louis Palou's son was invited to Jamaica to go marlin fishing and attend his dad's meetings down there. His dad wrote him a love letter saying, please come, we'll go fishing and I'm going to be preaching. There's 30,000 people coming and I want to spend time with you. He went, not interested, but during the service it happened. He in his emptiness, always lying to himself, how happy he was or how satisfied he was or how much fun it is to play around and run around. But he was at that place where he was looking and searching. And then in the service, God spoke to his heart. This is our labor. This is what we want to happen. This is what we're looking for. This is the only thing that'll satisfy. This will take a woman who will just say, you know, I'm not much of a mother, and make her a great mother. This is for a man who might say, you know, I don't know where I'm going or what's going to happen with my life, but I'm going to believe that God cares and that godliness is really what I'm searching for. And it is a mystery, but it's a mystery that I can discover by following Christ and believing in him. Read this. Teddy Roosevelt, he said, when all is said, it is the mother and the mother only who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable as well as a more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. How could I learn to be what God wants me to, the Spirit of God in the church. I need these messages in my mind and in my heart. I need examples around me who will say, come on, Lemuel, my son, let me give you a warning. I want to teach you and train you in the way that you can go because you have a lot going for you. How many mothers could say to their sons and their daughters, you have a lot going for you. This is valuable. I'll always be there for you. I have a word for you. I care about you. I want to instruct you. But more than that, I will just be there. I'll never forsake the interest that I have for you as a young man or a young woman. I am your mom. There's nobody like me. You have one. Sometimes we think the more the better, not in this way. One, right? There's one. That's your mother. I'll read this last piece. More than a mother. When God set the world in place, when he hung the stars up in space, when he made the land and the sea, then he made you and me. He sat back and saw all that was good. He saw things to be as they should. Just one more blessing he had in store. He created a mother. But whatever for. He knew a mother would have a special place to shine his reflection on her child's face. A mother will walk the extra mile just to see her children smile. She'll work her fingers to the bone to make a house into a home. A mother is there to teach and guide. A mother will stay right by your side. She'll be there through your pain and strife. She'll stay constant in your life. A mother will lend a helping hand until you have the strength to stand. She'll pick you up when you are down. When you need a friend, she'll stick around. Mother is one who listens well, will keep her word, will never tell. A mother never jokes or pries, giving you, but stands quietly by your side. Giving you the strength you need, encouraging you to succeed. Mother is one who can be strong when you need someone to lean on. You're more than a mother to me, a reflection of him in your face I see. A love that knows no boundaries. I'm glad that you chose to be all this and more to me. You share a love that knows no end. You're more than my mother. You're my friend. Okay, would you pray with me, please? Perhaps someone here, you haven't found Christ. Maybe someone here, you're disappointed with your life somehow. Maybe you've heard it all before, but today you really want it. You want Christ in your life. You want it, or maybe you have him, but you want him in a fresh way to restore you. He restores your soul. Maybe you have believed in him, but you want to have a walk with God. You want to trust him in every area of your life. You want to surrender your rights to yourself. You want to trust him with all your heart. You want to lean upon him personally. Then please do that. He will answer you. He is not far from you. He's right here and cares for you. And then those that have never believed before, today believe. You've never really believed before, but today you're believing. More than a building, more than a religion, more than a, a preacher, just a man, more than just people gathering, more. You are looking for Christ Himself, the living God, the Savior of the world, the satisfier of the human heart, the restorer of the soul, the light and the way, the answer. Please say, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in You. I believe in You in my heart, and I accept You. Raise your hand, anyone at all saying that prayer. Just raise your hand. The ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone? Say yes to Jesus. Just put up your hand. Yes to Jesus. Anyone? Oh, wow. Lord. Yes, Lord. Please, in Jesus' name. Anyone at all? Yes to the Lord. Oh, God, we pray tonight, today, this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Oh, God. Do great things in the hearts of every mom, every dad, every young person, and lead us in this unique way of life. And yes, God, in Christ's name, amen.